Chapter 2. The next day, Agnes had the luxury of a little more time in bed before she got up to go to Mass at St. Albans. They went as a family, and had done almost every week since they'd come to Blackburn. The church was one most of their friends attended too. Her mother clung to the other Irish residents, especially Aileen and Michael Walsh, who had been so good to them when they'd arrived penniless and forlorn in the unfamiliar town in search of Cousin Nan. Agnes sometimes found the church going tedious, but it was the only social life they had. Her mother didn't like them to mix with anyone who wasn't one of them. Agnes knew that this meant anyone who went to any of the other churches in the town. Her friend Jane went to the Protestant church called St. John's, but her mother had forbidden her to set foot in the place. Her fear was palpable, and Agnes had always gained the impression that her mother thought she would be cast into the fires of hell if she ever went inside. But Agnes knew that Jane was a good person, and when her friend had confided that her mother said exactly the same thing about St. Albans, they'd laughed about it, and Jane had invited her to go to the evening service with her. But Agnes had made an excuse. She knew it was probably silly, but her mother's genuine fears preyed on her imagination, and she was slightly afraid herself of what she might find behind the sturdy wooden doors of the town centre church. Now, they filed into their usual pew, and Agnes drew her shawl more closely around her shoulders against the chill. She knew Father Kay well, and the Latin words of the Mass washed over her like a blessing. It was a peaceful hour in the midst of their busy lives, and today Agnes was content to sit a while and not feel guilty about being idle. As she allowed her mind to wander, she became aware of someone glancing at her from a pew on the other side of the aisle. It was Patrick Ryan, the eldest son of Rory and Bridie Ryan, who all worked at the Pearson Street Mill. Agnes tried not to smile, but knew she'd failed when she felt her mother nudge her with a sharp elbow. She clasped her hands and stared at them, trying to ignore her admirer. But the idea that a boy might find her attractive made her feel giddy inside. And even though she had no particular feelings for him in return, it pleased her to be the recipient of such attention. After the service, they came out into the churchyard, and her mother fell into conversation with their friends, Michael and Aileen. Agnes stood alone, keeping an eye on Maria and Peter, as her younger brother, bursting with the frustration of having been kept sitting still for far too long, ran up and down the path with his sister chasing him. Looking around, she saw Patrick standing a short distance away, also waiting for his parents to stop talking so they could go home for their dinner. He gave her a brief smile. Agnes knew that he was about the same age as her, though he looked younger. His frame was thin and gangling, as if his arms and legs didn't quite belong to the rest of his body. His hair was dark and slightly curly, springing in unruly tufts around his head where it had been inexpertly sheared, probably by his mother in their back kitchen. His Sunday best clothes seemed too small for him, and Agnes knew that as soon as there was money to buy him something bigger from the second-hand clothes stall on the market, what he wore would be passed down to one of his younger brothers who were milling around, threatening to begin a play fight. She also knew that it was a distinct possibility that she might be married to Patrick one day. The problem was that there were very few young men in Blackburn who were part of the Catholic community, and it would leave her with a limited choice other than becoming an old maid and never having a home or family of her own. "Come on," urged her mother, her conversation at an end, sounding as if Agnes was the one who had been keeping them waiting for far too long. Agnes caught hold of Peter's arm as he careered past her and dragged him to a halt. "Dinner time," she told him, to prevent any tears of protest, and along with Maria and Timothy, they fell into step behind their mother to walk back to Mary Ellen Street and eat their Sunday meal, which would be nothing more than their usual potato.